If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hi, friends. It's Diane from Someone Gets Me once again. And today I have an interview person for you that you are going to love. Her name is Sharon Rosen. But what I know most about her is that she's this intuitive, amazing genius at helping you love yourself more and care about your true, authentic being. Because sometimes we're always taught those messages that we're not good enough or we have to measure up, and we need someone to hold that space with us. That's what Sharon does. She works with accomplished people and people who are more spiritually aligned and kind of waking up in that way or more awake. So she has that ability to help you see that wisdom within you that other people can't necessarily see, so you can make it bigger. It's amazing. She does all kinds of hands-on work with people. So if you're in the New York area, she's the person for you. And she also does distance work. So you could be in Australia or New Zealand or Ireland, all the different places this podcast is airing, and you can also work with her. So how about that? Isn't that neat? She teaches meditation, and she is an amazing facilitator of great things. She's also written a book, of course. All visionary people write amazing books. And the name of her book is Crazy World, Peaceful Heart, 6 Core Practices for Cultivating Joy and Resilience. Now, you all know, listening to me, that that's right up my alley. And so I have found Sharon, and she has come here with us today to share some of her wisdom, her inspiration, and how she does it as a visionary woman who is running a very successful business. And I think we're in for a very big treat. Her website is heartofselfcare.com, which of course I will put in the show notes. And we're going to ask her to elaborate a little bit more near the end of the show. But I would love you to welcome with me a very amazing woman who I know and respect so greatly, Sharon Rosen. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Diane, that... Thank you for that introduction. That was, yes, I'm blushing a little bit. Thank you. So well, honored to be here.
I am so excited you're here, and we all get a chance to really kind of dive in a little bit to who you are and your wisdom and how we can have some takeaways so that all of us can share our light brighter with the world, you know? So I'd like to start off with a little bit about who is Sharon? Like, where did this vision come from for this work? How'd you get here? Just kind of whatever you'd like to say so that all of our wonderful listeners can know you like I know you.
Well, it's funny because but people say, you know, I started out with my healing work as a massage therapist. That was my primary thing at the very beginning, 31 years ago. And people would always say to me, how did you get into massage? And I would say, I just love helping people feel better. And when I was working in a printing company, which was one of those, you know, everything had to have happened yesterday, but they're calling you today with the order that'll take 6 weeks, and everybody was all stressed out. Sometimes I'd go into my boss to get help with a particular job, and she'd say, I'll work on that. You work on my shoulders. And then, you know, she would feel better. I'd feel better because she did the work. And it just was a natural thing for me. You know, my dad used to come home from work with headaches, and I didn't know what I could do. I couldn't really help him, but I would rub his neck and shoulders and he would feel better. So I just always had a natural inclination to help people. And I felt like it was really a calling, and I got very led. Not through any like great visions or voices, more through almost anxiety to go to massage school because I was interested in it. I wasn't even thinking about a career. I just really wanted to know more about how to do this. And I was starting to really open up and work with a spiritual teacher and really open much wider on those levels than I ever had, which I always felt connected, always felt connected to God or divine. 7 weeks into my first training, my initial training as a shiatsu practitioner, I got my first client, and things just snowballed from there. So it was clearly the right thing for me, even though I didn't go, you know, now people go to massage school to start a new career. But in 1986, that was just something I did for me, really. And it turned into, you know, I stepped onto this path of healership that, of course, led into, you know, studying Reiki and studying spiritual healing through Kabbalah and many different types of healing work that I can do, like you said, long distance or with people in person in my room.
That is amazing. And so the calling for you showed up with that anxiety, urgency kind of feeling, which is a very common, but you don't hear people talking about that much. You know, the people who talk about it are the ones who are going, oh yes, I had this divine thing, or I had this dream or whatever. And you're going, okay. But the anxiety part that feels like an urgency is a very common way. And so that's interesting. And I think you probably did feel the anxiety and urgency because it's urgent to bring that level of healing, you know? And
yeah. And I knew, I think with the way I understood it on the other side, I was like, why am I so scared about taking a course in massage, something I've always been interested in? Afterwards, when I realized this was a big part of my life path, because I had no career aspirations before that. When I decided not to become a teacher when I was in college, that's what I thought I would do. I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. I just had some jobs. And I think that the part of me that's aligned with my purpose knew that this was going to change my whole life. And that's what the anxiety and the fear were about.
Right. So fear was, or maybe it was just the spiritual urgency that the ego interpreted as fear because yes. It didn't know anything any different. And had you listened to it as fear and stopped yourself, things would have been very different.
I shudder to imagine.
Right. You know, but see, honoring that, not even knowing that you were or how yet, you know, like those first steps, I think take a level of innocence in a way, like, okay, I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And that's a beautiful story.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. Tell us a little bit about, it says your first book. Have you written other books?
I haven't, but there there's at least one or so more cooking in me.
They're cooking. Oh, I love it. So tell us about The Crazy World, Peaceful Heart.
This was a book that I felt like I need to do this. I need to get something written. I've always been an avid reader and a not so consistent writer, but I did always consider myself a writer and felt I had a bit of an affinity for it and a knack. And something that I would think about a lot is we can't change what's going on outside of us, right? The world, like there's a song I actually quoted in the book by the Go-Go's from the 80s, can't stop the world, don't let it stop you. So, you know, sometimes you just wanna say, whoa, can we stop everything? You can't, but you can be more congruent and aligned and find a sense of peace and ground within yourself. And a lot of times that comes down to really some very simple things. Like we were talking a little bit before we went live about drinking water. Like it's such a basic thing and it can make a huge difference. But I think things like water and breathing and healthy food, in a way, I think it's easy for people to overlook them as being as powerful as they are because they're such basic things, or because, like with breath, you know, people are like, well, I'm breathing, I'm alive, I'm breathing. And so much can happen just with working with your breath. So I framed the book around these six basics, literally, you know, breathing to connect to your inner knowing, acclimating to your own inner rhythms, simplifying your thinking through inquiry, like not believing every single thought in your head. I don't even, off the top of my head, I'm actually forgetting what the other ones are. But these six very basic practices and tools that if you do them, they actually work. They actually help you.
So I think this is really cool because the not believing everything that's in your head is true on so many levels, and simplifying our thinking. And the number one requested topic that my audience asks for information about is how to help with overthinking and thinking too much and mental obsession in a way. You know, bright and gifted visionary people tend to do that sometimes, but sometimes anxiety and other things will do it too. Have you ever helped somebody who overthinks too much and the brain's always racing?
Yeah, with clients and with myself.
Oh, okay. So,
oh, I've had my struggles with anxiety and depression, yeah.
Do you have some tips that you could share about ways to start? Like, obviously, the drinking water part, like you mentioned, and it's so obvious, but I think people overlook it. I agree with you on that 100% because I see it all the time, even in myself.
Right.
And eating healthier food and staying away from, I always say closer to the ground, the better. And if you can't read all of the ingredients and know what they are, then you shouldn't be putting that in your body either. Oh, and I heard somebody the other day go, you know, food does not come through a window.
Yes, you probably shouldn't be eating it.
Right. And so I'm like, oh, well, that's a cool way to say it. So, okay. So if we can help encourage people to do those basic things that are so vital, do you have any other tips maybe that you could share with some of us who overthink as well or have a little anxiety or edge, maybe a little fear, to help ease that and soothe that?
Yeah. It's interesting because I started as a body worker. So one of the things that I've become very clear about is that we tend to kind of, a lot of us live our lives from the neck up, right? We're very in our heads. We're very, and also very visual. We're kind of out there, right? Looking into our screens, you know, looking through the car window. So one of the best ways to shift from our thinking is to bring our awareness into all of our senses. So for me, the first thing always is to just stop. Like literally just kind of stop what you're doing. Put down your phone. I was talking to somebody, I tend to now when I'm trying to focus on things, I put my phone screen down. I don't want to see if there are notifications. I don't want to hear notifications. So first, just sort of stop, take a breath, and tune into your body. Really feel how you're being supported. Feel the chair, feel the contact of your legs on the bottom of the chair, feel the contact of your feet on the floor. Put one hand on the abdomen and one hand on the chest and really feel how the breath is moving in your body. It's mostly, you know, the breathing that we do without thinking, that automatic breathing, we're using very little of our natural lung capacity. Just like the water, we need to hydrate. Oxygen, you know, you want to bring fresh energy, fresh life force, fresh oxygen into your muscles, into your cells, into your brain. So this just noticing how your breath is moving in your body and make it a feeling-based thing, not a thinking about thing. Also, you can notice what scents are in the air, right? Maybe there's a cup of coffee or tea sitting on the desk next to you. Just really notice if there's an aroma in the air coming from that, or you know, if you just cooked a meal, what might still be lingering in the air. Really tuning in through all of your senses is, to me, one of the quickest ways to stop the mental machinations.
Oh, that's beautiful. So by dialing into each of your senses, your brain has something to think about. But it's a scripted, controlled thing to think about, so it doesn't get to go haywire as much. And so it helps it slow down and be more on point, right?
Well, it's partly that, and it's partly just becoming really present in your body and kind of orienting yourself to where you are in this moment, in this space and time, and what's happening in and around you that isn't about your thinking so much. It's more about shift. I think of it a lot. Well, I teach mindfulness is one of the things that I talk about a lot. And a lot of times people kind of have a misinterpretation of what mindfulness is. It's not like this thing that you're putting on top of other things. It's a way of harnessing your awareness, right? So if your awareness is on your thoughts and your concerns and your worries, just like if you look at those things like they're a little unruly puppy and you are gently, gently, like taking that unruly puppy, pulling it back. And I think of it like I experience it as a physical thing when I'm pulling myself from my thoughts into my sensations.
That's a neat, yeah, I like that.
Right? It's yeah. like you're pulling in the reins on a wild pony, or you're pulling in the leash on a puppy. It's like, you know, you don't beat them up and you don't go, oh my God, you're so bad. Just like, okay, come back, sit, stay, be here, like that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I think about it when I walk my dog, you know, come on. Oh, I just said her name, so she's had to stand up. And be seen and felt. Oh, I love that. I love that. I have some other things I would like you to tell about.
Sure.
You mentioned Kabbalah healing.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating. I've studied it a little bit. And I've never heard anybody use the phrase Kabbalah healing and as far as energy goes and things. And so I would like it. I'm sure other people haven't. Maybe everybody else has, and I'm the only one that hasn't, but I don't think that's the case at all. So share with us a little bit about that, like body work and massage and mindfulness and meditations. Where does the Kabbalah healing fit in with this picture, and how does it offer you that extra thing that goes with what you offer people?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. It's healing modality and framework that's just really dear to my heart, and it means a lot to me. And I don't talk about it a lot because, you know, you say Kabbalistic healing and people are like, la, 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 la. Well, my friend said, well, cannibalistic healing? What's that cannibalistic healing? So Kabbalah is considered the mystical path of Judaism. And it's not about being Jewish, it's about being human. Just like Buddhism, to me, is not really about being a Buddhist, it's about being a human being a better human being. So one of the major frameworks that we use in Kabbalah and in this healing system is the Tree of Life. And the Tree of Life is the template for all of creation. It's all of the aspects of, however you want to understand, God, the divine, the unknowable, mystical force behind everything in existence, however you want to look at that. All of us have all of those aspects within us, and those aspects are in every single part of whatever is manifest in the world. So nothing can exist without that spark of life force in it. And it's, you know, it's a huge complicated system, hard to get into, but basically these are aspects of ourselves that, due to thought patterns or illness or trauma or whatever things, you know, throw a human being out of balance, that can be rectified by being held in a certain balance. So when I'm doing a healing, I'm listening to the person with all of these aspects of the tree in mind. I'm listening with those ears, and I'm hearing where they are in this moment, most fundamentally out of balance, out of sync with themselves in terms of all those different aspects. And then the healing, it's beautiful work because I can do it long distance. I can do it from anywhere because time and space are relative, and I can go off on so many tangents. But when I hold the rectified state for the person, it's like I'm becoming a big human tuning fork. And so that resonance then resonates with the other person's being. It all sounds more woo-woo than it actually is. And things start to shift as we all are healed and whole at our core, but we don't walk around feeling that way, or, you know, we're affected by things that really do knock us off balance. So in holding the wholeness in that person, it helps to bring forth what's already there and remove those layers that tend to cover things up.
That's a beautiful way to explain it. And I'm thinking about my training in Jinshin Jitsu.
Yes.
And so Mary Burmeister always says, you know, you're the human jumper cable. You're not the one doing the work.
That's
of course
right.
not. That we're all connected energetically, and the other person, the healer, is really not healing. The healer is the the channel or the avenue or the jumper cable, which I love that analogy,
yes.
to help kind of awaken in you what's covered up with the gookie stuff. I kind of imagine that gookie stuff looking like Nickelodeon slime, and we really can clean it up, you know?
Yes.
And so I'm listening to you, I'm getting goosebumps actually, because that's so powerful. I think that when people come together, whether it's long distance and using video or in person, that that human connection has the within it that seed and opportunity for both people to be elevated and healed and cleansed and everything. Because as you're holding that sacred space for that person and helping hold the rectified state for them, yeah. it also is affirming it in you.
Yes.
And yes. I mean, how beautiful is that? And you know, sadly, we live in a society that misses that actual authentic deep connection mm-hmm. and the healing power of that. And so as you're speaking, I keep thinking of how much I love Jinshin Jitsu, and I love massage and body work and Reiki and all of that. But I love the more mystical, deeper connection that you're speaking of here, like with the whole tree of life and all of that. And that there's way more going on than our human brains, I don't care how smart we are, can wrap around.
Yeah.
So for me, overthinking becomes ridiculous because you can't think your way through this.
Right.
And when all my clients say to me, I'll have to figure that out, I'm like, that's not where the answer is. The answer is not in figuring. So now what are you going to do?
That's right. How do you rest in the questions themselves? And
yes.
my teacher that I studied the Kabbalistic healing with, he sent us a letter before we started our training, you know, our welcome packet. And it said, you know, we're not here to find answers. We're here to learn how to ask better questions.
Yes.
And the questions themselves lead to something that you can't figure out with that cognitive, you know, let's figure out how to build something mind.
Right. Yeah. That's true. I'm creating a card deck called Better Questions, Better Life.
I love it.
My questions. So I know when I speaking with you, it's like, oh my gosh, we're like related spiritually. Cause we say we have a lot of the same, like, things that turn us on, you know,
yeah.
and get us excited.
And I just wanted to say, I love a dear friend, actually my roommate through the Kabbalistic healing training, her other modality, which is the thing she studied for over 30 years, is Jinshin Jitsu. And I love how Mary Burmeister says, they're not problems, they're projects.
That's right. Everything's a project. Everything's a project. And in some of the metaphysical traditions I study, we talk about things are healing opportunities.
Right.
It's an opportunity. It's not a disease or an issue.
And also a way to know yourself better and understand, you know, yourself as that drop in the bigger ocean
yes.
of life.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. I could talk about this forever, but there's other things that I really right. want to talk to you about. Like, oh my word. So what are some things that you enjoy for fun that help you nurture you? Because you're real big on self-care. So what does Sharon do to nurture and self-care for Sharon?
Mm. Well, there's a few different levels to that, because there's the kind of practical, like, you know, drink more water, get to the gym a couple of times a week. I'll be going when we're done with our conversation today, because I haven't been yet and it's already Thursday. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of nuts and bolts stuff. But on deeper levels, I guess you could say, I love to read, and I love to read books about Buddhism, about healing, about Kabbalah and transformation from a grounded place, not from a kind of a, you know, of the moment pop culture kind of place, but like the really deep teachings of Buddhism and Kabbalah. I love to take walks. I love to get together with friends and enjoy a good meal and laugh. And I can be very extroverted. I love to connect with people, but I'm really an introvert by nature. So I really refuel with just quiet time, downtime, sit and stare out the window and look at the trees. Well, when I had cats, of course, cats are great self-care tools because they, you know, sit on your lap and they're soft and funny and quirky. But yeah, I think just that quiet time and some reading that nourishes my soul, or good conversations like this that nourish me.
Right. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. And people think I'm an extrovert when they see me talking in front of big audiences and things, and I have a personality and I'm an introvert by nature. I have all eyes on the Myers-Briggs, and if I don't have my quiet time to really regenerate, then things can get a little frazzly pretty quick. So yeah. I've learned early in my life that it's okay to take care of myself, and it's okay to have that extra quiet time for me, even though all my extroverted friends are like, what are you doing? I'm like, now they just call me the introverted one. Like, that's just it. And I'm like, that's fine. That's okay. They honor it though, you know, and they respect me. So as I respect their need to be out there, like I can be out there for a little while and then I'm like, okay.
Yep. Enough.
All right. Time out. I have had enough of this one. And so that's kind of cute. So some other questions. Is there a story that you would like to share about somebody you've worked with that you would consider inspiring or successful or something that can offer kind of a flavor of the transformative process? So that a lot of people like think, oh, well, I want to get better, or I want to heal, but they don't really understand so much that the transformation that is available to us if we're willing is not just in our head. Can you think of any that you might want to share, just, you know, like a little story about?
Well, it's funny because the one that came to me when you first started asking the question is a client of mine who had cancer. But when she came to me, she didn't come to me to work on the cancer. She came to me to work on relationships and her sense of self and her own negative self-talk that she felt was holding her back. And we did some, you know, some coaching, some mindfulness work, and quite a bit of the Kabbalistic healing work. And she shifted so much around, like, these relationships that she was maybe a little bit on the spectrum. So she had a hard time really, like, reading people and connecting with them. And yes, she was just the loveliest person. I loved working with her. And she really got a lot of peace around relationships with her stepchildren, relationships with a neighbor that, like, they were practically, you know, coming to punches. And she did end up dying. You know, her body did not regroup. But when I saw her, I went to visit her in the hospital, and you wouldn't have known that this woman was going to be gone in a couple of days. She was luminous. She was on the phone with her sister, laughing and talking. And when we spoke, there was a presence to her that was not there when she first came to me. She was just so connected to herself in a beautiful way. And it was such an honor to work with her.
Well, and that's authentic healing there, because healing, you know, for me is being that authentically connected where we're so radiant.
Right. It isn't always about the physical, oh, and then she got healed from her cancer. Like, sometimes that's true, but sometimes people, their physical body dies, but on a spiritual and emotional level, they leave this world really healed.
Mm-hmm. And that's the healing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and sometimes people say, you know, pray for the healing. I'm like, well, what's your vision of that? It's not necessarily the physical body. The healing is that deep, rich connection and the kind of cleansing away of those things that keep us feeling separate inside, you know? That's a great story. I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, boy.
Would you be willing to maybe lead a little bit, like a 5-minute meditation?
Sure. That's actually that's one of my favorite things to do.
I kind of thought that. So if you're listening to this in the car, you might want to hit pause and come back to it, or listen maybe to Sharon's voice and then come back with it if you want to close your eyes. So don't listen to this and close your eyes driving, because that's not healthy, okay? But I thought it would be really, really beautiful to allow that part of you to just be experienced by my audience. A lot of times, you know, I have a meditation podcast, Meditations for Visionary Leaders, that I do meditations that are guided for people. Mm-hmm. And what I realize is it's natural for me. I do it all the time. It's natural for you. However, many people do not take the time to meditate. They don't really know what it is. and they're afraid they're going to overthink it or can't. So I thought if I could put you on the spot for just, you know, like a little 5 minute little teaser taste, help you and I decompress, but also so all of you out there can just take a minute and realize that something this short and simple can save your life and change it for the better. And so if you wouldn't mind.
I'd be delighted.
Okay.
I'd be delighted. So if you are in a place where you can sit comfortably with your eyes closed, that would be great. And if you're not, just tune into your breath and let the sound of my voice be something that takes you away from your mental chatter. And for those of you who are sitting in a meditative posture, you want to let your spine be as comfortably upright as possible. It doesn't need to be stiff. You don't want it to be stiff. They say you want to have a strong back and a soft front. So just letting yourself come into a nice, natural, upright position. Letting your hands rest comfortably on your thighs, palms down. That's a nice self-contained mudra or hand gesture. And simply start tuning into your body right where it is. So noticing how you connect the backs of your thighs to your seat. Are your feet on the floor? Or perhaps you're cross-legged. You're just sort of scanning your body and becoming present in this moment. You don't need to try too hard. Just starting to tune in to physical presence. And then starting to notice the movement of the breath in your body. You may even want to put a hand on your abdomen or your chest so that you can really feel how breath expands and contracts in the front of your body. You're not trying to make your breath be a certain way, and you're not thinking about, oh, I should be breathing deeply. You're just noticing breath as it is, as it's showing up in this moment. And contrary to what a lot of people believe, meditation is not about clearing your mind of thoughts. Thoughts are what minds do. But when you notice that you've gotten a little lost in thought, you simply note thinking, almost like a little bookmark, and bring your awareness back to the sensation of the breath moving in your body. And anytime you notice that a thought has come in, you just notice it. You don't have to push it away, and you don't have to grasp it and add more thoughts to it. Simply notice that you've gotten a little lost in thought and come back to that sensation. Breathing in, you know that you're breathing in. And breathing out, you know that you're breathing out. Just staying with your breath for another moment. You may also want to scan and notice if there's any places that you're holding physically. Sometimes there's a little tightness around the eyes or the jaw. Perhaps your shoulders are up or forward and you can relax them and let them fall down and back. Taking this time to be compassionately present to yourself. not needing to do anything else in this moment. And as you feel ready, you can slowly open your eyes. You may want to stretch a little bit, wiggle toes and fingers, and we come back into this present moment.
Oh, that was beautiful. Your voice is so soothing. It's beautiful. Thank you, Sharon. That was great.
Thank you. I love guiding people, and I love reminding people that the point of the meditation is not to clear your mind of thoughts, because that will set you up for feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't do this because thoughts are going through my head. But it's how are you being with thoughts when they arise, which is what they will do.
Right. Because our minds think that's what they do. That's what they do.
That's their job. That's their job. And they're good at doing it.
Right. And so for overthinking people who think they're going to sit down and not have any thoughts is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard.
Right.
It's that space and it's that pace and it's that honoring it. Like, you know, there are times where my thinking is very slow when I'm meditating, and other times I have to bring myself back a ton of times or not.
Right.
And it's still all okay.
It's all okay. And the point of all the teachers that I've followed say that the point of power in the practice is the moment that you catch yourself and compassionately come back to your point of focus. It's not about not thinking. It's that you notice that you've gotten a little bit lost and pulled out from yourself, and that you bring yourself back. That's it.
And so that practice of noticing when you get a little bit pulled out from yourself and not distracted out in the future or back in the past or over here or whatever. And that practice of whoa, 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 it's right here, right now. We're going to be okay. Just stay right here with us for a minute. And then kind of always redirecting through the day is the practice of mindfulness in our everyday life. It's just being in the moment, doing what we're doing as we're doing it. And whatever comes next will come next when it's time, and we don't have to go there in advance.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And to me, that would be ultimate self-care, is to really take care of ourselves on that level, so that it supports our choices in food and in water and in relationships, so that we're in that honoring place.
Beautifully said. Yeah.
So is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you think you would like to share, that, you know, that comes to your mind or your heart that you're like, you know, I'd really like to share this information? In a little while, I'm going to have you talk a little bit about your business and what you do and how it all operates. But, you know, just like, from your beautiful soul to all the beautiful souls listening, is there something that you would like to share?
Yeah. Be really kind to yourself. You know, we tend to get into so much negative self-talk. I think life is so hard and so full and so fast-paced and full of distractions and disturbances, and to just really let yourself off the hook a lot more and be as kind to yourself as you would be to your dearest friend.
Kindness. Yes.
Yeah. Again, simple, but not always easy.
Right. So put the bat down, y'all.
Yeah.
Beating yourself up internally is not the best idea you ever had.
Right.
So put it down and walk away and love yourself. Be kind. That's great wisdom. And we all can always be reminded of that.
Yes. Present company included, myself included.
Right.
Yes.
Everybody. Like, I think sometimes, you know, I keep reminding people of things, and every time I'm reminding them, I'm like, reminding me too.
Exactly.
Because we're all in this together. As I say that a lot, we're all in this together. So if myself and my clients and you and your clients and all of us who are out here elevating the world in whatever way we're able, all of us remind ourselves of our own beauty and our goodness and where we're headed, then people will get us, because that's a soul getting. And it's only the ego that makes us feel so separate. And so this whole podcast is called Someone Gets Me, because every time somebody works with me, the thing they say as they leave the very first encounter is, oh, someone finally gets me. Mm. Because they've been searching and searching for somebody who just hears them and sees them and is just can be there. I realized that was a gift I had. I didn't realize, kind of like, you know, there's things you know that you don't realize other people don't. And the more I just authentically care about people and I'm kind and I love them, I get to do it with me too. And people get to understand that you are gotten. You're not really alone. And if you feel like you are and people around you don't get you or don't celebrate you, then you have permission. You all have permission to adjust your life accordingly, whether it means moving or changing relationships or reaching out or seeking a guide of some type that can really help you see more clearly your higher path. And there's tons of people I'm interviewing for that very reason, because I do it with my clients, and then there's people all over the world. So Sharon is somebody who can help you if you live in the beautiful Hudson River Valley area of New York. I'll come see you, but not in the winter. And she also can help you long distance, right? So she has a really amazing connection and gift. So if you're really resonating with her beautiful voice and her talents and her skills and this show, and you want to be gotten, you can always let her know you heard her here. And again, her website is heartofselfcare.com, which I will put in the show notes so that you can connect with her, because if you're feeling led and you don't, then that would be not loving yourself and being kind. And that is not the goal of this show. So if you feel led, you contact her, even if it's just to say hi. So Sharon, would you please share with all of us some of the passion behind your work, some of your beliefs, the way you like to do things, what it would be like if one of our listeners, you know, contacted you, what would they experience in the beginning? And if there's anything, you know, related to your business that you would like people to see, that you, as a visionary, spiritually connected, amazing woman, have created this great business. So business and spirituality and emotional authenticity and family can all coexist. The thing you hear all the time, that, you know, you have a good family or you have a good business, and all this separation does not have to happen. And you're a living example of it. So share with us a little bit about that work part and that business. And obviously you're following your calling, so it doesn't feel like work in that same sense. And so people understand that you can be a visionary. You can be highly intelligent and see things differently and be successful.
Well, so I loved what you said about something about your own natural friendliness and warmth and how you are with people. Mm-hmm. That's, I find for myself, the more I rest into that, like I don't try to be too much like anybody else, and I just really rest into that natural like friendliness and curiosity about other people. And I love connecting, and I love that you said that. It's like, I would honestly love if anybody reached out to me, not even necessarily, you know, I'm not going to expect that that's going to mean you're going to want to do a session, although I would love that if that would serve you. But I actually love just connecting with people and helping them. And if we have a conversation and I'm not the right person, I will gladly share whatever resources I can with you. Like in my alternate life, I'm a librarian. Seriously. I mean, I love libraries, and I thought about library science because I love sharing knowledge and tools and information with people. In terms of success, I mean, to me, success is, what is success on what is your meaning of success? So, you know, there are a lot of people out there that talk about, you know, being a healer and a visionary and a coach and having a 6 or 7-figure practice, and that somehow some money value says what you're, you know, that you are a success. But for me, whether I've been making a lot of money or, you know, just enough, I'm a success because I live life on my own terms. And that is, I feel very grateful, very humbled. I don't have children, so I'm not beholden to taking care of others that way. But I think that being true to yourself and owning your gifts and showing up in the world to be of service ultimately will lead you to a path that is going to be successful for you, however you want to define success. You know, for some people it is, you know, lots and lots of money in a house here and a house there and a boat and a car and a this and a that. And for me, it's having space, having time, having the joy of having a conversation like this and being able to guide people in a meditation. Like, that's just, I can hardly think of anything I'd rather be doing. And so that to me is, that's where my success comes in, is because I get to do what I'm naturally good at. I wouldn't be good in an office. I wouldn't be good with like facts and figures and detail. But I can hold space. I can receive. I can reflect. Like, that's what I'm naturally good at and aligned with. So anytime I have a chance to do that, it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, I love it. And you're reminding me of the whole idea that I remember hearing years ago in my career that I never bought into.
What's that?
About figure out what your weaknesses are and make them better. When really, I believe that find your strengths and expand on those.
Yeah.
And find somebody to help you with whatever you think your weakness is.
Even exactly.
And that's what you're reminding me of. And so it's important to realize that that old teaching is outdated. It was never accurate to start with.
Hmm.
That when we live in who we are and what we can do, and we do it more evolved and transforming and study and learn and grow in it, then that's what we're meant to be. And that's the diversity of the world. You know, my accountant loves numbers. I do not. I'm good at calculus and math and arithmetic and all of that. I'm very good at it. Actually, I score higher on that. And my spiritual calling is something different. And so I find the expert who digs that, and she looks at me and says, I don't know how you do what you do. And I don't know how I could do anything else. It doesn't fit. All of us visionaries, all of you listening to us, are not eavesdropping on the conversation. We're talking to you.
Right.
Because you're listening to us because you have the same issue. And the thing is you can be successful. You can be happy. And it's all with you giving yourself permission by saying yes. Sharon shared her story. She had to say yes. And she said yes. You know my story, not even go back a few episodes. And I said yes, and I still say yes. So saying yes to that heart's desire is what makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
I think it's time that we close the show.
Yeah.
Reminding all of you that you're perfect, whole, and complete exactly the way you are, that there's nothing that needs to change, and that truly you are a rock star. So remember to keep your face toward the sun so the shadows fall behind you. And until next time, be well.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.